You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I am your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. Has our Facebook there, our Instagram there, our Snapchat there. So you can listen to the entire 2-hour show in 10-second increments.
That would be terrible.
Right?
Be terrible.
That would be terrible.
You see Snapchat added, so for a while they've had the, what they call lenses, like the filters on the front-facing camera, and now they've got stuff on the rear camera too. They just added
that. I didn't see that.
They just added that.
Good for them, man. They got a fight.
You think Instagram's coming for them?
Yeah. I'm seeing more and more people use Instagram stories. It's 15 seconds.
Yeah. I don't understand why, like, Facebook stories, like, nobody asked for that.
Nobody asked for that.
Nobody asked for that. Like,
I used it for like the first day to be like, what is this? And then never touched it again.
Right. Instagram stories started off as, hey, do you think Snapchat's too complicated? The answer is secretly yes. Almost everybody does. Great. Well, we took their idea and we basically replicated it without the filters. If they can figure out how to rip off the filters, it's kind of over.
It's dead.
But I think Snap owns some, they've got some intellectual property on that. I think they've done some stuff. We'll see if the whole concept is copyrighted or just their implementation. But you'd think Instagram's got to have like a room full of people working on that.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, so who owns Snapchat?
Nobody.
Okay, so Facebook owns Instagram.
That's right.
Okay, they absolutely.
Right, it's like, okay, so for the people who are on Instagram, we got them stories and that's working. Now let's see if the people who are on Facebook but aren't on Instagram. So basically, you know, we'll just say typically elderly folks, maybe, perhaps.
A lot of people on Instagram.
No, I'm saying who
I'm sorry, on Facebook, I'm sorry.
That's what yeah, I'm yeah, but I'm saying the people who are on Facebook but who aren't on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, am I ready for, like, you know, my like, you know, older relatives to, you know, make Facebook stories? I mean, maybe more power to them. I don't know. Isn't that what Facebook Live is for? See, none of this makes sense yet.
Listen, well, Facebook Live is under a lot of fire right now.
Did they not think that was going to happen?
Right.
They're lucky there's not. I mean, who knows what could be happening on there by now?
Absolutely. I just want to know how those things, I guess, how those things go viral. Because, you know, who was watching the actual live, like the dude's live when he murdered the elderly man? Then, like, did they record it? Do they just record all of them? How do you pull that video? Because you can, I don't know, a lot of intangibles. But that's intangibles is going to be the theme of this episode. Spoiler alert.
We got totally sidetracked talking about Snapchat. So,
I know, and everybody's like, get to the fireworks factory. We'll get there.
Did you tell people where they can follow you?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Doc, what's going on?
What's going on, man? If you want everybody, you can follow me on Twitter at @doc_beats_s0z. But, you know, more important than that, just go to the website, clockradiospeakers.com, or follow us on Twitter at @CRSPodcast. And Armand hasn't said it yet, so I'll plug it. Please, please, please rate and review us on iTunes. You can get the link to it directly from clockradiospeakers.com.
So yes.
We appreciate people who've been leaving reviews, trying to get those numbers up. We're playing a numbers game, I'm not going to lie, but we'll see if it works. So
it's working a little bit. Right. Hold on, let's see where are we?
The movement is moving.
The movement is definitely moving. Oh, where are we? We're at 70.
Making progress.
We're five away.
Five away.
And 30 away from a second episode.
Right.
And so the 75 rating episode will be a definitive 15 on the our favorite hip hop intros of all time, album intros.
Yeah, we're not gonna agree about that. I can just tell you right now. There's going to be some shared absolutely. Ones, but there's no way we're going to agree.
Can we do, are mixtapes included in that, or is it retail?
Yeah,
albums?
Because, listen, Trapper Die is on the list.
I was going to say, because I would try to, like, manipulate that so that Trapper Die could go on there.
You'll be lucky if I don't do that entire show in DJ Drama's voice. Like, that intro's going on the list.
You remember when Scream came out? And they actually sold, like, the voice manipulator to make you sound like Scream. Why hasn't hip hop or somebody patented or created something where you could have a Fat Man Scoop voice, a DJ Drama voice, a Funkmaster Flex voice? Who else?
You mean like Oh, you want like a I was thinking like, what if like, you know, okay, Google or like Siri did that, right? Like you change it. Like you could, like for a while you could swap out your GPS.
Waze still does that. I have, I can't think of his name, but the dude who narrates for Dateline that they make fun of on Saturday Night Live. Oh, he's the guy who reads my GPS directions.
See, don't you want Funk Flex like respond?
No, because I don't want him. Well, I don't want him interrupting my song to tell me to make a left. But we'll also get into that.
He could throw bombs whenever you do something.
Like if I miss it, or if I like, right. Once I get to miss my destination,
get to your destination, he's dropping bombs on it.
That's funny. Well, there's another $1 million idea that we just randomly gave up on the show.
Wasn't Funk Flex trying to do something? He was really trying to do that app for a minute.
You know what? The app. I'm not gonna say it was ahead of its time. But it was right there.
It wasn't of the right time.
Yeah. I mean, and even remember DramaLikeTheDJ.com?
Mm.
Where DJ Drama uploaded all of his gangsta grills and you could stream them there. I mean, like people had the right idea, but it's like those are the ideas. I mean, I could really turn this into something deep. It's just you, if you have an idea, just do it. It may not, you know, manifest and work out the way that you want it to, but it could open up other doors into other things that you otherwise may not have experienced or seen or been able to, you know, create had it not been for that initial idea. But, you know, hey, is that the more you know.
I was going to say, this is typically when we're doing all the jibber jabber. Like, you know, we're trying to get deep already.
Are we trying to be official trappers right now? You said jibber jabber.
Of course I said jibber jabber.
Why is that not a song on my album? I need to let me write that in the track list real quick. Hold on.
With a flute sample.
No.
No?
Can we? Why? It's amazing.
Your kid's playing recorder? Can we get them? Can we hook that up?
Can they do what?
Your kid's playing the recorder? Like any of them? Either of your kids?
My daughter plays she plays the horn.
Oh, see, there you go.
Yeah, so she could do the end of a song like Nas's dad on Life's a Bee from Illmatic.
I was going to say she could try to trap it out like some Spotty style horns.
She could also do every single horn from every trap beat from 2006 to like 2011.
God, that's all I want in life. See, that's all we need.
She could do all that.
So basically, we could recreate Down Bottom.
Yeah, we could. Don't play with me, because I'll do it. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, yeah. So, what's going on, Doc?
That's the intro to Kairos 2. It's your daughter learning how to. It's like it's a skit, and it's your daughter learning how to play. But instead of playing like scales or something like that, she's learning how to play because her teacher is making her learn Down Bottom.
You know. Listen, I don't 100% rely on my daughter's educators to teach her everything.
Mm.
She could just bring that horn to my house in the summer.
You got to take matters in your own hands.
Absolutely. Some things you just have to teach them yourself.
Swiss Beats is for the children.
Yeah. Nah. So you watched, I was about to call it Uncommon Offense. What's the name of that show?
What are you talking about?
The one on Complex with Budden and Academics. What's it called? Everyday Struggle. Uncommon.
Good sir, I do declare.
That is an uncommon offense, sir.
Yeah, I feel like uncommon offense would require Skip Bayless and like a 1700 style like wig.
What was that rapper's name? Who was the rapper's name from like 2007? He was a white guy and he was like a parody rapper, but he rapped in the style of like old English. You remember what I'm talking about?
No.
He had the trap record. Man, somebody hit me up on Twitter and let me know, because I know there's somebody from the dark ages of the internet who remembers what I'm talking about. I cannot think of his name at all.
So yeah, so this Joe Budden and Academics thing.
Yep.
I saw it linked somewhere. I watched like 3 minutes of it, and I just started getting angry, like visibly angry. And I thought to myself, is this what happens when people listen to our show?
Well, our overwhelming response from our listeners was no.
Mm.
I don't think so, just because Joe Budden is a sociopath and Academics is a troll who stole threads from the Kali / SOHH and made YouTube videos off of them and got popular. That's why he can't articulate any views on the show, because he doesn't have any, because they come from other people. So
tell me how you really feel.
Nah, I mean, that's true. It's all facts. So, I mean, like, I think you and I are both well-versed in the things that we talk about. And I don't think either one of us tries to pretend like we know what we're talking about. You know, you educate me, I educate you. We educate the people educate us. It's win, 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 win all around. And I think that's the beauty about it. I think that's the beauty of our show, as opposed to just, you know, listen to me and I'm yelling over you. And if you disagree with me, then you're wrong.
Right.
All that stuff. So I don't know. No. Now, we did get a comment where somebody said that we should bring a younger millennials perspective on the show.
Right. To which I was offended, because first of all, we're millennials.
I was like, wait a minute. I'm a millennial. Hold up.
but we are older millennials.
We are.
All right. Get some youth.
Yeah, get the youths on there. I feel like that's like when like the ratings for the Cosby Show were low and they brought Olivia on.
We got to write some additional characters into the show.
Yeah, we just got to write some additional characters into the show.
Okay.
I don't feel like we have reoccurring characters. We have Hyphen.
We have reoccurring. We have guests who've shown up. Kelly Bakes has been on a couple times. Wes has been on a couple times. Hyphen's been on a couple times.
I think people are clamoring for your wife to be back on the show. I think the streets need that.
Streets is on fire this time around.
Streets is on fire. Their blood pressure is literally building.
All right. So what's going on, man? How you been?
Man, I can't complain.
Did you have a good Easter weekend?
I had a really, really good Easter / Resurrection Sunday. Spent a lot of time in church. You know, this is the most important weekend for believers. So, you know, it was really good to just kind of reflect on what Jesus did for us and to be amongst the people. And I ate good. And I wrote some music, and it was just a good week, man. It was nice out.
Yeah.
And I did absolutely nothing on Saturday. I did nothing. It was 81 degrees outside. I walked outside to take a picture for my Instagram modeling ministry, and then I came back in the house. That was it.
You did it for the gram.
Yeah, of course. You have to sometimes. Not all the time,
right.
But a couple times. But yeah, good weekend. How about yours?
Friday, I celebrated Good Friday by going to Six Flags.
Yeah. How was that?
I haven't been to Six Flags in a while, which is crazy because I love roller coasters. And there's a Six Flags 30 minutes from my house.
Oh, yeah. You bug it.
Right. Right. So this year, I bought season passes because they were on crazy sale. Because like typically, you know, even if you buy if you buy tickets online, you can get tickets for like $50. If you buy them at the park, they're like $75. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I got season pass from me and Marissa, and they were $75 a piece. And that includes free parking and admission. And this is to any Six Flags. So in a couple of weeks, we're going on to the one in Jersey.
Jersey.
Because Great Adventure is ridiculous.
Yeah. So the one in Connecticut is not a Great Adventure.
No, I mean, it's a Six Flags. Yeah, it's just called Six Flags New England, but it's But no, it's good. I mean, Great Adventure is better, arguably, but it's also incredibly busy. So
it's not like a Walmart Supercenter.
Just a regular Walmart.
It's just a regular Walmart.
It's not what a bad Walmart.
It's a bad. You said it's not a bad Walmart.
Yeah, it's not. It's like a cleaner Walmart. Like, you know, some Walmarts they've just given up altogether.
I was gonna say, do those exist? Because I don't know if a clean Walmart exists in Columbus.
I've seen them.
Probably in Connecticut, sure.
No, because see, Connecticut, clean Walmart, that's called Target. Like, that's where people
right.
go.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, most people here go to Target and Kroger. You don't really fool with Walmart like that.
But no, Six Flags was great.
How'd your body hold up?
Oh, good. There's one ride that is, first of all, it's too rough. Like, it's just not a smooth ride.
Yeah, was it wooden?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Nope. But what happens is you load like normal, like you sit in your seat and they strap you and whatever. And then you back up so that you're now 90 degrees to the ground. Not like the seat moves like one of those rides where you're kind of flying, but like you're still seated. It just backs the whole thing up like this big ramp. And now you're sitting there hanging face down. And then it takes you through, painful because it's rocking back and forth and the restraints don't really fit anybody well. And everybody, it's just known as a painful ride apparently. And they take you all the way up. And now you're looking straight up at the air. And then they run you backwards.
Wow.
Yeah, I almost blacked out. So that ride wasn't fun. But the rest of them were great. Marissa was, in the middle of one of them, I thought I might have like a divorce situation on my hands. But we came out okay.
You said it might be. Listen, I don't think Marissa would divorce you because...
I don't think you understand. There was there was a torrent of obscenities.
She said a torrent. I've never heard a torrent used in that context.
It wasn't pretty. Now, to her credit, she warned me ahead of time. She's like, listen, when we're up on that ride, I'm going to say things that I don't really mean. And true to her word, there was things that were said.
Well, thank God you married a truthful person.
Right. And then we, afterwards, it was all good. But no, we had a good time. It was a nice weather day. And because we're so close, it was easy to get there when the park opened. So the first batch of rides, we didn't really have too long of a line. And because it was Good Friday, around here for schools, that's spring break. So by 1-2 o'clock, it definitely started to get busy. But but it was good. When we go down to Jersey, that's a much busier Six Flags because it's halfway between Philly and New York, the park is. So we'll almost certainly have to buy the Flash Pass, which, whatever. Because if I'm driving all the way to Jersey, I'm not driving all the way to Jersey so I can stand in line for 2 hours in the sun. Like, right. I'm not young anymore. I'm an old man. Like,
agreed.
And you've seen Marissa and I in person. We are very pale. Like, that's just asking for trouble.
Now, the good thing about Universal Studios is that though some of the lines were ridiculously long, so like for the Transformers ride, we waited 2.5 hours.
Oh.
The Harry Potter ride was about an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes. They made the line experience as comfortable as any other park I've ever been to. So lots of fans, lots of air, water. No. It wasn't uncomfortable.
No.
But it was December.
That helps.
I can imagine Six Flags in Jersey
in the summertime.
In the summertime could potentially get super ugly. So if I was you, I'd agree with you. I'd go ahead and just pop for the fast pass.
And by the way, if you most of the rides now, you can't bring phones or anything on them because they fall off.
They just completely fall out. Like it's just a wrap.
Right. So they require you to, and if they catch you with the phone, they'll kick you out. So, but the lockers are before you get in line. So now you could be in line for an hour plus without a phone.
That's terrible.
Right. In 2017, that's a problem.
That's an extremely big problem.
Right.
There was only one.
Which is why people are always trying to smuggle their phones up. And even like the short line we had on Friday, there was some girl on the ride that we were on the same ride, like same time. Like apparently she like lost her phone, like flew out.
Wow.
And that was the moment when I was like, yep, we were, I don't feel stupid for getting a locker and we're going to just put it in the locker from now on. That's the way it goes.
Did they charge you for the locker?
Yeah. Out of all the things though at Six Flags, the locker is somehow not as expensive as you'd think. Like
it's like $1.25 or something like that.
Well, it's a dollar if you just want to get a single ride for a single locker, it's a dollar. Or you can just pay $5 and go from locker to locker throughout the day. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Because you can fit you can fit more than one person's stuff. So it's $5 for your whole party. Like considering what they charge you for, I don't know, everything. Like,
right. How much did it cost you to eat?
Easily over $30 for both of us.
Yeah.
And it's not even like it's good food.
Yeah. I paid about $50 for me and the kids.
Easy.
Terrible.
Yeah. So like $5 for a locker, I can move from day to day. Like, I mean, from ride to ride, I was like, that's almost reasonable.
Yeah. That's not bad at all.
No. But it was good. I had a good weekend.
So I'm thinking about, I'm glad you had a good weekend. I'm glad you and Merce had a good time at Six Flags. It's dope.
So I'm thinking about making the trudge to Philly for this Roots picnic.
When's the Roots picnic?
First weekend in June, June 3rd.
Okay.
Because it's Pharrell and the Roots doing Out of My Mind.
Mm.
And tickets are under $100.
That's not bad. Who else is at Roots picnic?
Let me pull it up. It's actually not a terrible lineup at all. Okay, so we got Pharrell and the Roots. We got Wayne. We got Solange. 21 Savage. I don't know who Kimbra is. Black Thought and J Period with Fat Joe, Mobb Deep, and Scott Storch. We can see Scott Storch making coke-induced beats. That'd be great. Thundercat, Pete Rock, No Name. I've heard some things about this Khalid dude. I've heard some good things about him. I haven't heard any of his music. I'll take that for under $100.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about it.
Thinking about it?
Yeah. I was going to go to New York, I was going to go to L.A. and see Solange for my birthday. She's doing a concert at the Hollywood Bowl with King.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I don't know. Might get it early. I'm about to start school and won't have time for anything. That might be like my last little gift to myself before I buckle down and put in work.
I can see that.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Speaking of festivals, did you... You catch any Coachella?
Yeah, I watched a little bit. Watched my dude Francis and Lights do his performance.
He got a Coachella spot. How'd he do?
He did pretty good. He did a Coachella spot. I think it's the second time he's been at Coachella. The first time, he definitely was one of those, like, you're the first person performing style slots. This time he wasn't quite, you know, he was like a third to half the way through the day. So, you know, he's getting there. But they showed him on the live stream, which was great. Saw some of Kendrick's. I saw some of Future's. Who else did I see? Saw some of Travis's. Watched a couple highlights from a couple random ones. But yeah, you see when Future brought out Drake, needless to say, this is definitely a crowd that has been listening to More Life.
Okay, so what did he do off of More Life?
He did Galchester and Fake Love.
He did Galchester?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But the crowd sang word for word like Fake Love at times. He would just,
sure.
Yeah. That's a big song, but yeah.
That's like Hotline Bling for the streets.
Right.
It's not quite like a hit, but
yeah.
The kids know about it.
Yeah. How about you? You catch anything?
I caught nothing. I literally caught maybe 30 seconds of Mac Miller. I was like, Mac Miller, really? And not to say like he's, you know, fallen off or anything like that. I just haven't heard from him in a while. But I forgot he put out an album last year.
Right.
It had a moderately successful single with Anderson .Paak.
Right.
I caught maybe 5 minutes of Future, and I was like, well, he could bring out Drake, and I was like, you know, I got church in the morning. It's kind of late. I'll catch it later if something happens.
Right.
Lo and behold, I get up in the morning. Future brings out Drake. There you go. And I completely missed Kendrick. I didn't even know Kendrick was performing.
Yeah, he was the headliner, basically.
So Beyonce was supposed to do this year, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And I think you called it. You were like, yeah, there's no way she's doing that.
Nah.
And spoiler alert.
Yeah.
She did not. So how did, and I'll ask this, and maybe this will transcend into what we're going to talk about this week, because I'm sure our fans are like...
Yeah, they're sitting there like, stop talking about Six Flags.
Yeah, killing it. So how did these Kendrick records, the new Kendrick records, sound live, and how did people respond to them?
I mean, DNA, that we'll talk about, like people, you know, that went off, Humble went off. But he also, I mean, he played a mixture of, I mean, he ended with Love, which is super fascinating.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just Forever Young.
It's going to be that kind of episode, huh?
Yep.
but yeah, it seemed like a good reaction. I mean, in general, I think he played a mix of stuff that maybe wasn't kind of, I don't know. I feel like hip hop crowds now, they want like the trap bangers. Like it's the Kanye St. Pablo effect, right? They just want to mosh. You know, so when you play something like Money Trees, people like it, but they want Humble. They want DNA.
They want Backseat Freestyle.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. He did a pretty good job, though. He had, he had like a little short film that was playing some stuff behind him, which was sort of teased by the his t-shirts he had on sale at Coachella had
some what looked like little scenes from a movie. So everyone was getting all excited, like, oh, this is the second, which we'll talk about in a bit. Oh, this is the new, the second Kendrick thing that's coming. But, you know, it was just footage for the back of his thing, which I'm guessing they probably didn't make that just for Coachella. So obviously he'll be touring at some point.
Yeah. He has to.
So yeah, he did. It was a good performance though.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Before we talk about Kendrick,
somebody just said, oh,
do you want to say anything about Joey Badass? Did you listen to the new album? So his new album out.
Yeah, I did.
Called All American Badass.
Yep.
Go
ahead.
I didn't even realize the single from last year was Devastated, which I remember hearing like once or twice. I didn't even realize that was for this album.
Yeah.
That was almost a year ago.
Yeah.
Worked
the single.
Right. And so you listened to the whole project?
Yeah. I mean, what I could.
What did you think?
I didn't want to hear, or what I ended up hearing was fake woke rappity raps over MTV Cribs beats.
I mean,
like every beat that came on is like, and now let's move to the living room. And now here's where the magic happens.
I mean, I get some of that, right?
Here's the last point I'll make. It sounded like they reminded me of a lot of like Dipset, we couldn't clear this sample or we didn't want to clear this sample, so let's replay it. But like the Schoolboy Q record, whatever the original version of that is probably super dope.
You didn't like that record?
It was okay. It was one of the better records on that album. But yeah. I felt like whatever it probably was originally, it just felt like it would have been a whole heck of a lot better.
I mean, they cleared a sample for that.
Did they?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I like the sample on that. I don't think the drums get all the way there, which is actually a consistent theme with this project.
That may be my problem with the project. The drums did not do it for me.
They're like, it's like they're trying to re-chop these breakbeats, but
and they're trying to like clean them up.
Yeah, like For My People is a good example, right? So DJ Khalil produces this.
Mm-hmm.
And he produces a lot of the records on here that sound kind of what I would call warmer. So like the first two tracks and the last track, they're all DJ Khalil, and they have that kind of like, you know, they're trying to be like that warm, like 90s vibe sometimes, but the drums are sort of like, hey, like For My People, I'm pretty sure is, oh wait, why can't I think? It's definitely a breakbeat, but it's chopped and they just didn't do it right and they're trying to clean it up. But For My People, like, it's funny that you mentioned that your kid made fun of you for trying to dab.
Yeah.
Because For My People is definitely something that my father in the 90s would have tried to raise the roof to. Right? It just feels...
yeah, nah,
it's
I feel
just,
you.
It's just not there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not there as a reoccurring theme of this project. I'll agree with you there.
And what's interesting is, like, I mean, to me, this album kind of gets off to a slow start. Like, because, you know, you're right. There's definitely a lot of fake deep stuff. Like, Temptation's a good example of that. Even Super Predator. It's like, oh, is he going to talk about, like, is he really going to get deep and talk about, like, what Super Predator mean? Like, no. It's,
yeah.
Like, it's like a throwaway reference, which, okay, like, I don't know. There's a larger conversation, which we'll probably get to with Kendrick. Like, what do we want our artists to be? Like, how deep do we actually want them to go? Because, you know, to Joey's credit, the deeper you go, the worse it actually arguably gets, because then people have something to dip into. Like, if you're just saying, you know, if you're throwing out platitudes, as long as you don't come off, you know, like sounding like Nas going back to Africa, like as if as long as you're staying relatively shallow, it's cool because there's nothing to really criticize. It's when you start to like try to get really political that all of a sudden nerds like me are like, you know, and that's
what I got my degree in political science.
It says here on Wikipedia. No, but what actually surprisingly works well on here is that single Devastated. Like, I like that kind of Joey more than I like, hey, I'm Joey Badass, and don't you wish I was from the 90s? Like, that's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who knew that Joey doing a vaguely young thuggish thing on the hook actually kind of works?
Mm.
That being said, the beat on Ring the Alarm is pretty dope. I mean, it's a total ripoff of Mobb Deep circa 1996. Especially when they start specifically... I believe those are the synths from Godfather Part 3.
I mean, listen, if you're going to rip off an era... I mean, 96 Havoc isn't a bad place to be.
But to their credit, they actually get the drums right.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is everybody else on the track not named Joey. He's got a bunch of other dudes on there who I just don't really want to hear.
Yeah.
Including whoever's doing the hook sounds like a fake former member of Onyx.
And not Sticky or Fredro, like Sun C or like one of the other guys.
No, like... Like a
yeah. Like what level, like what era Onyx is it? Like no. Slam, everything's loud, or is it like
Shut Them Down?
Okay, less loud.
Less loud, but definitely like, yeah, imagine like Sticky on Shut Them Down, just a B-grade version.
Sure.
But you know, there's a little run here that's actually not bad. Like Why You Don't Love Me, Devastated, Rockabye Baby, I like Ring the Alarm, because you know, I like the Mobb Deepish beat. It's cool. That's not a bad little run there.
Sure.
But, you know, Super Predator is, you know, it's called Super Predator. It features Styles P. I really wasn't expecting that sort of warm, jazzy-ish Static Selecta beat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, was that a sample?
It is. Yeah, it's a sample.
Okay, because I was like, I've never heard of a Static Selecta beat without a sample.
Well, Legendary. Which the J. Cole record Static produces. With,
oh, that's a Static beat, really?
Yeah, I don't see a credited sample. I have no idea what is going on with those drums.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, like, all right, if I'm Joey Badass and I want J. Cole on a record, what kind of record am I going to get Cole on? I would assume that it will be a record that we could do live.
Mm.
Maybe I'm in North Carolina.
Right.
Maybe
right.
I'm somewhere. I can bring Cole out. We can do this record. And then Cole can do one of his records and go backstage. This is not a perform live record at all. I was a little confused by that.
And J. Cole, man, he's just...
Don't get me started on Jumanji, man.
He's got a line on there about how, you know, it's like a tire. 1 minute you're low, then you rise. And I was like, oh, God.
And that's more helpful than the... Man, get out of my face.
No, get your bars off.
Nah, son. Listen. You make a bold claim like that.
Back up a minute. For those who don't know, what claim you're referring to?
Of course. Okay, so he put out a documentary on HBO called For Your Eyes Only. And one of the records that... I guess he was like, there's some new music scattered throughout the project, similar to the project or the documentary he did on Tidal, where the two songs that he leaked prior to For Your Eyes Only kind of fit into the dynamic of the documentary. Like it was shot really well. And so I didn't see the HBO special, but I was just scrolling through my Instagram on Explore, and I saw like Genius will, you know, put like a line from a song or whatever. And he said something to the degree of like these verses are more helpful than, you know, what they preach in Sunday services or something like that. I said, oh, OK. Now, not wanting to jump the gun, I find the song on the Internet. It's called I think it's called Want You to Fly or something like that. So I listened to the whole song. The beat is dope, which pissed me off even more. It's like,
You're like, I might like this.
Yeah, like, why? So the beat is dope. And then he says that, and he says, no disrespect to our Lord and Savior. And then he goes on to talk about how he believes that, you know, the Bible is irrelevant to today's culture. And I've pretty much said everything that I wanted to say. I mean, I said it on Twitter, but like, you know, those are really bold claims. And I could either approach this as a Christian or as a fan of hip hop. As a Christian, I'm immediately offended at the blasphemy to even believe that you would even ascribe your writings or anybody's humanistic writings to words that have been preserved and you know, and lost and all, we can get into all that, but preserved through time. Like, okay, you're basically disrespecting everything that I stand for and believe in and base my life on. I'm offended there. As a fan of hip hop, you, like, I'm the issue. You can't outfart me. That's helpful. I'm a tire. What do you say? I'm a tire. 1 minute you're low and what? Like, don't do not disrespect. So what it does is it,
J. Cole is for the children.
Between this, not my children, between this and whatever we get into with the Kendrick album, because I'm sure we'll have to touch on that, and that's even a rabbit hole of a conversation. As an artist, you know, people have made diss records and, you know, people will, you know, shout, that's not right. And yeah, I feel you. But as an artist and as somebody who is working on their album, my conviction is to just like really be distinct and to really show people why I believe in what I believe in. I've always been very transparent in my life, but this album is going to show the other side of that. And I'm very, very excited and extremely anxious to get that out there. And I don't want the whole, well, he's a hater and whatever, whatever, because that's not my stance at all. I don't want anything that any of these rappers have. And I've finally gotten to that place in my early 30s that I don't want it. I just want there to be a difference. And I just want people to be informed. And I want people to make their own choices that are informed. So that comment will make more sense after we get done talking about Kendrick. So, yeah. But I do want to send some shots, and I may like on some freestyles. Because I'm a smidge petty. So,
a smidge.
Just a smidge.
Okay. Anything you want? Anything like overall? So like, people were really hyping up this Joey project.
They really were. I was trying to find the tweet that somebody sent us.
Oh, it was something like, is this the album that Kendrick like wants to make or something like that? That sounds familiar.
Yeah, something like that.
Let me go through my mentions real quick.
So yeah, I retweeted it on the Twitter. Show Baraka. Shout out to Show. Got some really good feedback about our episode last week. Or two weeks ago,
right?
Here it is. Did Joey Badass drop the album we were all waiting on from Kendrick Lamar this past Friday? Nope.
Yeah, not even a joke. Like, no.
Joey
is not bad at rapping, but I don't really want to hear him rap.
That goes for so many rappers out nowadays. Yes, 1,000%.
Yeah, this just isn't for me. But it's not even like, oh, he's trying a new thing. Like, listen, as somebody who often will make records that reach back into a certain 90s aesthetic, this might sound hypocritical, but like, I don't need this kind of 90s aesthetic. Whatever is happening here, no.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really work for me.
I agree. I agree.
And yeah. And it's funny, right? Because Rockabye Baby gets the closest to like what I think maybe I would like about Joey's stuff more than anything else. Like, ironically, Schoolboy sounds great on Rockabye Baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, it shouldn't be ironic, right? Because on Schoolboy's records, on his own albums, like when he raps over darker, you know, hippity hoppity records, he sounds good. So it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got to say about Joey.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.